see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this show, brought to you by Watchmen for Jesus Network. Hey, I like that. Got my own network. I'm let loose with one. How about that? Don't even have to have an antenna. And I can do this worldwide. Isn't technology amazing? Absolutely amazing. I got people listening to this, New Zealand, England, down in South America. I got a lot of people that download my archives from China, Russia, a lot, and of course the United States. Matter of fact, there's like 25 countries that download my programs. I keep, there's a some kind of statistic matrix or whatever that's part of the program I'm in that I've signed up to. It gives me statistics, and it has a little bar outside each country that's downloaded, and the numbers. I was amazed, actually. After all, I'm just a little fella here and a country boy here in Mount Airy, North Carolina. But I am going to tell you the truth. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Then I'm going to get down to it. I'm going to talk today about, actually, I decided here to complete what I was talking about the past 2 days about the truth about all wars. Notice the word all wars. And this isn't a history lesson per se. It's not about history. Naturally includes history, of course, but to know the present, know the future, you have to know the past. And it is perfectly equal. because the same agenda, the same family, family bloodlines. And each generation, the names change, but it's the same families. All the way back to Charles Maine. All of them. They carry it as a family tradition, this agenda. And they don't miss a stride, except they've been held back, literally, by God. Now, some of y'all that don't believe in God, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm telling you the facts. You see, this is a supernatural war that we're in today. It always has been. Since the beginning. And it continues until Armageddon. The real Armageddon. That is the final battle. The real one, I have to say. Not the fake one that they're trying to conjure up. No pun intended, but, well, intended anyway. To conjure means witchcraft. And that's what the Freemasons, your Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, your Council of Foreign Relations are literally involved in. Fact again. You see. In the song that starts me off about the blood of your young boys and girls, the blood of the war is that the song talks about when I begin my show. Going by the book. You put squarely on the shoulders of the Illuminati, specifically your Council of Foreign Relations. That is your enemy. Now, members of the council, depends what level they are, won't have a clue what I'm talking about. They keep them that way. Their little offices and cubicles, they keep them dumbed down. Rewarded, threatened, under secret society membership and so forth. They get too nosy. They're shipped out, killed, and this isn't TV. This is real. It's how it really works. They find out something that they shouldn't, what the high level are doing. They're discouraged or set up to lose their job or they have a car accident. These people in our government, in the European government, in the Scandinavian government, in the Russian government, in the Chinese government, do not care about their citizens. None of them do. Not Putin. Not who in China or whoever. Doesn't really matter. They're little puppets anyway. Korea, doesn't matter. They don't care about their citizens. They care about Lucifer. Literally, all of them. And the ones that all of a sudden change. They got to take them out in one way or another. And they do lose them for various different reasons. You see, God's always ahead to thwart their plans until the final moment that it's time to hit the 7-year tribulation. Then there's no stopping it. Right now, it's just like popcorn popping everywhere. Beep, 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 beep. And little things like torture report coming out, or Fukushima, or Ferguson, Missouri, the black and white race war they're trying to get up, gin up, and choke here, and I can't breathe signs, all this stuff is keep you busy and tied up. Bundy Ranch, all that nonsense is to keep you busy. Because they're not worried about everybody else. They're watching TV, Dancing with the Stars. They're not concerned about them yet. They have folks in the alternate TV, alternate radio, controlled opposition in the airwaves, internet radio, and so forth, that work for the CIA, Operation Mockingbird, to tell you 80% truth to hook you and 20% misdirection. That's how it works. And you can better believe that they're well-funded. and pretend to be on your side, and they're absolutely not. And they say things like the bankers have done it. Family, the bankers are nothing more than those shoeshine boys. The Eric Holders, and if people can be replaced with a phone call. People busy themselves about, we got to arrest Eric Holder. Oh, God. You know, please. These guys are nothing. Absolutely nothing. They mean nothing in this whole scheme of maneuver. They just keep you busy, tied up, misdirected. The Italian Illuminati, Breakspear, Aldo Blandini, Orsini, Medici, these are the ones that we're concerned about. 13 of them, the outside 13 families, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Bundy, Reynolds, DuPont, etc. 26 families total. Then the Freemasons, they're nothing but their worker bees, who don't even know it, that they're doing a job to destroy themselves. And that's another fact. Family, I'm serious about these broadcasts. I don't get into all this other political mumbo-jumbo to tie you all up. I tell you the big picture. I'm going to cover news to show you how things fit in. But I'm going to continue on with what I did yesterday and the day before about the wars. And specifically to show you how they operate, how they work, and how evil that the world's governments really are. They don't have their citizens in their best interest. They have the New World Order in their best interest. They have failed. It will happen, but only for temporary and very short time. Because God is in control. He's thwarted it all this time. But there's coming a time he's going to let it happen. And that will be their undoing. Lord, family, let's begin. And we're going to hit the ground running. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we have this network. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring out the truth. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Teach us and show us so we may be pleasing in your sight. Father, we pray for our families and our friends and our own soul. We pray that you'll keep your shield of protection over us this day and the days to follow. And Lord, in the leadership of the Holy Spirit, in our hearts to guess. We thank you, Lord, for each other this day, and most of all, for you, Jesus Christ. We pray for our Christian brothers and sisters who are reborn newly, and to protect them, Lord, because we know it's hard in that first time. We pray for all the people who've have total faith in your Lord Jesus. And we pray for the souls who are reaching for the salvation, that they will take your hand and walk this narrow path with you. And we do pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that these seekers who have no knowledge of you, who find their way from the dark road to that narrow path, and that path that leads the way to you, that they will gain wisdom from your truth. And so these souls will receive the eternal life of their eternal inheritance and will be able to live forever in your kingdom. We pray, Lord, for those in this radio program. We pray for the ones we've lifted up to you here in the past to protect them and individuals we've named. In these coming times, Lord, these signs we see, it reminds us, Lord, to pray on the armor of God, especially in these days and times, to pray around our waist the belt of truth, to show us the wisdom, our counselor, our hope, and our strength come from you, and to put on our chest the breastplate of righteousness, that we walk the straight and narrow path. We fall to the side where you put us back on track. And we thank you for taking our sins to the cross and showing us what a perfect righteous life looked like. We put on our feet the sandals of peace. And we thank you, Lord, for the peace you give us when we trust and follow you, and not of ourselves or this world. We pray in our arm the shield of faith, that we have faith in you, that you'll be fulfilled your promises. And we can count on everything you've shown us about yourself, everything you've promised us in your word. We put on our heads the helmet of salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for promising us salvation, to guard our thoughts from the evil one, and to give us that knowledge from the Bible through the Holy Spirit. And finally, Lord, we pray in our hands the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the King James Bible, helps us to cut through deceptions and gain your victory in every battle we may face today. And all these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I have to pray before I ever go on air in my own way. Because, family, this is what I do. It's what I've dedicated my life for. I've not always been like this. I've never always, not always preached the gospel. I never would even consider it. Not me. Because all I could do is say prayer before a meal. And my past is much to be desired. But God put me in places. And I've seen things overseas, anti-terrorism, was in the military before that. I've got a history. I'm not going to go into that. That's not about me. But I've not been an armchair quarterback. I've been in the middle of this mess. Kuwait, Kosovo, Saudi Arabia, Congo, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Atlanta, Georgia. And back to Mount Airy. And to Griffinville. Who'd ever thought it? I sure wouldn't have. So from anti-terrorism to radio broadcasting figure. But I left a trail behind me of whistleblowing, stirring up trouble on purpose. Because I got tired of lies. I'm not one to be quiet neither. And I don't follow anybody except Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm done. That's where my loyalty lies, with Jesus. Not in the stars and stripes, not the Constitution, none of that. Mine is about Jesus. If Jesus wants to bring us back, that's fine. But I know when the time comes, there will be no flags in the kingdom of God, because we'll all be equal. I prepare for that day. I love my country. I joined the Marine Corps to fight. That was my purpose for joining in the first place. I volunteered for it, although I missed the Vietnam by 2 months. And I missed Iraq, the first Iraq, in about 3 years before it happened. But I was prepared. My intention. So I should tell you that so you don't think I'm like quasi or sort of liberal or anti-American or non-patriotic or any other kind of thing. I'm realistic. When I learned about this New World Order, I was about as flabbergasted as anybody. Because I'm a very hard person to convince of anything. I'm very stubborn, hard-headed, as you can ever imagine. And it convinced me of this conspiracy, as I'm talking about in my broadcast. It took a lot. And there's no question what I've told you so far is absolutely true. That's why I can feel dogmatic about what I say. Because the evidence is what I go on. And if I say, well, this is my opinion based on the following facts. Otherwise, it's a fact. If it is a fact, you'll find it. And I tell you, don't believe anything I say on this radio. Don't believe anything I say. You challenge everything I say. Every time. So you find it yourself. And you'll know it. Whether you say you learned it from me or not, doesn't make a lick of difference to me. I don't care. I don't care if my name is out there. You can put it out wherever you want to. I don't care about that either. I'm not shy. But I'm not here for fame or money or none of that. I'm here to get the word of God out and the truth. And that's it. That's my main objective. Well, that being said, I want to save the last 30 minutes, I suppose, of this program. My fingers are crossed, I hope. To talk about the real world events in the news. I'll probably refer them throughout the next hour and a half or so. Anyway, but I want to specifically focus. I'll tell you the principles. And then toward the end, I want to give you some news to show you how the principles being played out. And boy, I'll tell you what, they're putting a pedal to the metal here in the past month or so. Definitely in the past couple weeks. They after something. They're coming up with something. Something's going down. But then again, that's only in the eyes of God if he allows them to have it. You can say the same thing. World War I, World War II, Hitler, Antichrist. World War I, Bismarck, whoever. Alexander, Nimrod. Satan's always ready with the so-called Antichrist. Every generation, every age. Because he doesn't know. And neither do the fallen angels that follow him know when God's going to let this happen. They don't know. It keeps them always guessing, always afraid. And they can never guess what's going to happen. And when they get ready to do it, God just changes the frequencies and they got to start all over again. They can never rest. Therefore, neither can their minions of humans, Illuminati, Jesuits, etc., that work for them, can never rest either. They'll never let them rest. Because humans have to give them the experiences of the physical world by channeling and possession and so forth. So they'll never let their minions rest. So these so-called Illuminati can never rest because they're slaves to the hierarchy in the supernatural realm. You see, so they're not so hotshot after all because they're always kept jumping, never knowing when they might die. And when they die, they're going straight to hell. You see, that's the reality. And you know what? I don't even really wish that upon them. Nobody really understands. We as human beings cannot grasp what hell's all about. We say it so flippantly. Quote, go to hell, man. We have no idea that we put a curse on somebody. People have no idea, no clue, as humans, what hell is actually like. There's no way you can describe it. No way you can even write it in a book. God didn't create hell for you and me. But if we turn away from God, that's where we go. Because we chose to turn away from him. He's given us all kinds of opportunities to not do that. He gave his only begotten Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ, so you wouldn't have to. But he's a just God and a loving God. And a loving God will have punishment that is eternal. He'll have love and heaven that's eternal. It's all eternal. It's just your choice where you end up. He's given you a way. He created hell for Satan and his angels and the demons. That's what hell was for. Consequently, if you follow them, that's where you're going to end up. Because you turn your back on God. You turn your back on Jesus. Because he is your way. He is your light. And there is no other. Good deeds count absolutely zero. Until you become born again. And these preachers out here, these rabbis, these priests and popes, bishops and cardinals, whatever they are failing at their job miserably. They belong to the National Council of Churches, 501c3. You have Jesuits that's trained to be First Baptist ministers. You get the Pope that changes doctrine any time he wants to. You know that's not right. Because they work for Satan. Of that, there's no question. It's not about any religion. No religion. Not even Christianity. It is about Jesus Christ. Following Jesus. Not a religion. Not four walls. Not a preacher. Not a pastor, rabbi, or author, or whatever. Or even a family. It's following Jesus Christ. And he gave us his perfect word in the King James Bible. With evidence, you can prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Well, with that said, that's the main thing I want to get across. If anything else, I say all day. And this program is not about religion. It's not a spiritual program. This is about reality. If I was going to, and I already said this before in the past, but I'll say it again. If I was ever going to brief the Joint Chief of Staff, I'd tell them 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that is their only answer and their only way they're going to understand. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only answer. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's the only answer. I've said this in other times, and the people go right back to talking about Constitution, arresting, impeachment. So, man, did you hear anything I said at all? I said, none of that is even going to happen. And when it does, it's a facade and a fake. Dialectic. Arresting the Illuminati, if they do it, chasing the bushes down and all that, is a fake and a fraud. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. That's how it works. It's not going to happen. And if they were to report it, everybody's going to celebrate. It'd be the celebration of fools. Because they control the world until Armageddon. Well, actually, until the first trumpet blows. And that's God's judgment. And then no longer are they in control. They'll be hiding like the cowards that they are. Well, family, God put a fire under my stove today. And I prayed for one. I'm a nobody. Not famous, none of that, and I don't care to be. But I sure can tell you the truth. And I want you to try it, test it, and challenge it, and it become your truth. Or if I'm wrong, please, let me know. But family, I do extensive, over-the-edge research. And I pray. And I know I don't know it all, by no stretch of the imagination. But my goal is honestly to give you the truth. And that's what we got to seek. Now, finally, there's a solution besides 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you'll find that in Ephesians, I found, 6, chapter 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the... Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with your truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in all ways with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Those Ephesians and 2 Chronicles lie as the answer to what's going on today. Okay, that being said, I talked yesterday how they set up World War II. And some of you may have known already, but others might have been shocked at what I said yesterday. I'm not going to reiterate it today. You can go back and listen to the tape. I already sent it out to my Facebook and another distribution list. I've already archived it and put it up and sent it out. You know, when I told you about destruction of the Roman Catholic Church, and that's what the back of the dollar bill signifies. The pyramid. The eye of Satan at the very top. That's what that is. The pyramid's the structure of the Illuminati. As you go down, the pyramid gets wider, correct? Well, that's because the numbers that work for them increase. And each layer doesn't know what the next layer knows above, because it's degree system. That's how it works. So the ones at the very bottom of the pyramid are working for the Illuminati, working for the hierarchy, fallen angels, working for Satan. The very bottom line, don't even know it. Don't even know. My people have perished for lack of knowledge. So destruction of the Catholic Church is where they're headed. The Jesuits, that is their goal. Say it again. The goal of the Jesuits is to destroy the Catholic Church. Teilhard de Chardin. Teilhard de Chardin was a father of the New Age movement. Helena Blavatsky was a mama of the New Age movement. The New Age movement, or the Age of Mystery religions, Zoroastrianism, Mithraism, shamanism, all these isms, before the 4th century. 4th century brought in Roman Catholicism under Constantine to cover over and hide the root system of the Roman Catholic Church. To encompass and bring in the Christians under a homemade religion called Christianity. Whoa. So now in the time, the snake has split in so many different ways. But the snake skin is going to be shed to reveal what it was once before the New Age movement. To do that, they must crash the Roman Catholic Church. And it's called what's called a re-spiritualization. So they're going to show everything bad about Christianity. They're going to show you how all the holidays are pagan. They're going to show you all this. They're doing this on purpose now. They're showing you how America is all this and all that negative. I tell you the same things, but what I'm telling you is they're showing you this now because they're going to come up with a new system. And that system is a new world order that George Bush talked about September 11th, 1991. Several occasions. So they got to crash the old one to bring in the new one. They're going to show you all the bad things. Now, they are. They're going to reveal the Illuminati. They're going to reveal the torture report. They're going to show you all this bad stuff. They're going to reduce national sovereignty. Take apart the families. To bring in world peace. And a new world order. It will be the worst that's ever happened in this entire history of mankind. They're not telling you that. That's called the first seal. Now, that being said, do I have your attention? You'll understand what I'm going to tell you now. In a pastoral letter dated August the 19th, 1938, a year, actually, 6 months before FDR made that speech I gave you all yesterday, 1939, March the 4th, 1939, that horrific, horrible speech that FDR gave behind closed doors. I'm not going to go over it today. But a pastoral letter dated August 19th, 1938. The bishops of Germany, what they did, they struck out against Nazi ideology. They didn't know the Roman Catholic Church was behind it. All along, they had no idea. And the letter said that the attitude of the Nazis toward the Christian religion in Germany is an open contradiction with the Führer's assertion. Quote, what is aimed at is not merely the checking of the growth of the Catholic Church, but the wiping out of Christianity and the setting up in its place of a religion which is utterly alien to the Christian belief in one true God. In that letter, it goes on, and it points out the Nazi attack on Dr. Sproul, S-P-R-O-L-L. He is a Protestant bishop of Rottenburg. And it showed clearly that the persecution is directed not only against the Catholic Church, but against the whole Christian idea. Family, that was planned in 1871 by Albert Pike. That's why they're trying to bring all the religions into the Catholic Church now. When you get everybody pulled in, Protestants, Tony Palmer, y'all come back now. We forgive you. Come on, you Protestants. We murdered you in the millions. But you forgive us now. We forgive you, even though we murdered most of you. But come on back anyway. Oh yeah, Roman Catholic Church murdered 50 to 68 million people just in the Inquisition between 1200 and 1800 A.D. That's not counting the wars they've started. It's not counting St. Bartholomew Massacre. It's not counting all the other, it's beyond belief. I know in one concentration camp, 1943, Camp Jasanovich. Bishop Stefanich was one of the administrators. Bishop. Camp Jasanovich was in Croatia. 1940s to 43. They murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians. 60,000 Jews and 26,000 Gypsies were murdered in only one concentration camp. Only one. By the Ustasha, Roman Catholic mercenaries. The SS were horrified at the cruelty of these Roman Catholic Ustasha. I've got all the details on that, right down to a book that they tried to keep from being published. I got a copy of it. It's easy to find today. Y'all got the point now? Quote, in this letter, an attempt is being made to get rid of the Christian God in order to replace him with a German God. What does a German God mean? Is he different from a God of other peoples? If so, then there must be a special God for each nation, for each people. This is the same as saying there is no God. They're working hard right now. I finished up World War II yesterday. And also, would I seem it necessary to mention, I'd be amiss if I didn't, the smoking gun, one of the smoking guns actually, and the truth about the wars, was McCollum's memo. It was released, declassified, and this memo, on October the 7th, 1940, about a year and a half or so, give or take, from Pearl Harbor, Lieutenant Commander Arthur McCollum of the Office of Naval Intelligence submitted a memo to the Navy Captain Walter Anderson and Dudley Knox, and the endorsement was included, which you can get copies of. You can see it yourself. Captains Anderson and Knox were two of President Roosevelt's most trusted military advisors. And the memo detailed an 8-step plan to provoke Japan into attacking the United States, and Roosevelt, FDR, that evil individual you can't even imagine, just like Bush, Clinton, Carter, Reagan, Nixon, every mother son of them, or Luciferian, every darn one of them, Obama, every one of them, all of them, except the ones they assassinated in our history. They were breaking loose from this agenda. Yeah. Over the course of 1941, they implemented all 8 of the recommendations contained in the memo. Then Japan attacked. And remember, I said yesterday, that the Honorable Oliver Littleton, a member of Churchill, who's a Knights of Malta, by the way, another murderer, who's responsible for Lusitania, that same Churchill, a member of the Knights of Malta, working with J.P. Morgan, responsible for the murder of all those aboard the Lusitania. Evidence for that is clear. That Churchill. Oh, by the way, Churchill. Yeah, second cousin to Stalin. Yeah. Second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II. And second cousin to Adolf Hitler. Whoa, how about that? Yeah, they're all cousins. Go search it out. Go look. Well, Littleton, a member of Churchill's War Cabinet, declared in an address to the American Chamber of Commerce in London on June 24th, 1944, said, and I quote, "America provoked," that means the Japanese, "to such an extent that the Japanese were forced to attack Pearl Harbor. It is a travesty of history to say that America was forced into the war," unquote. And you know, one of the best people to sum this up, and I move on to the next war, is old FDR himself. You know, the fireside chat guy? That one. He said, and I quote, "In spite of the risk involved, however, in letting the Japanese fire the first shot, we realized that in order to have full support of the American people, it was desirable to make sure that the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt in anyone's mind as to who were the aggressors," unquote. McCombs' memo shows how they did it. You can look it up, McCollum. I'm not going to go over it. It takes a long time. It's quite lengthy. But it goes into that McCollum, McCollum, McCollum. It talks about what they kept with to provoke the Japanese to do it. That's your exact way. Family, I'm telling you how Satan is operating exactly. Right down to the nuts and bolts. Remember I told you yesterday the first, second, third world wars, the third one yet to be fought, were all planned by Albert Pike in 1871. August the 15th, he sent a letter to Manzini. I read you the letter. And then each succeeding generation of Illuminati families would put this to effect. And now I'm telling you how they did it. Sometimes you're not careful, you get caught up in this. And you lose perspective about who's going to win anyway. You get caught up in the amazing stuff you didn't know before about how this has been put together since the dawn of time and carried through. Just absolutely amazing. McCombs' memo is the smoking gun of how we provoked Japan to attack. So I'm not going to go into that now. You can look it up yourself. Just take too much time. So they provoked it. They ran it. And they lied about the Japanese not surrendering. They were surrendering to the Pope. And Truman was ordered to go ahead and drop the bombs anyway on Nagasaki and Hiroshima as a sacrifice. There's a lot more to it than that. My regular listeners, you'll understand this. New listeners, I don't know what to tell you. But in death and destruction, these supernatural beings bouncing around this tree of life in alchemy, principles of mechanics and biology and chemistry and all this, by the death and destruction in massive quantities, they somehow can manifest themselves physically in this realm. Allows them to manifest by collecting life force energy. Now, this may went over some people's heads. I can't go into detail, but you got an idea what I'm talking about. There's another part of war they don't want you to know about. There's more to it than people realize. I read an article. It came out. Where is that junk? Oh, yeah. The top of the article. Pearl Harbor, 6 things we should remember to avoid repeating history. Oh, my gosh. So they come up with like 6 things of why Pearl Harbor happened. Delusion of invulnerability. Delusion of isolation. Delusion of non-engagement. Delusion of neutrality. Blah, 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 blah. Family, the Second World War was to set up Israel, cause death, destruction, and was supposed to lead to a new world order in 6 phases. FDR, working with Churchill, working with Hitler, working with Stalin. Chamberlain died, of course, in 1940, and working with the Japanese elite, working together. And I proved to you that FDR was setting up a navy, setting up a dictatorship in America in 1939. The dictatorship would have been existing at the same time. About the 5th and 6th phase was in place. Hitler was going to attack the west side of, the east part of Canada. Japan was to attack the west coast. And then Hitler was going to move around Ontario, sweep south in the middle of the United States, divide it in half. And you say, well, how dare he do that? No. They were counting on a dictatorship already in place in 6 phases of the Second World War. So now, instead of the Japanese doing it, well, they failed to accomplish it because Yamamoto called off the attacks. They've had the Chinese replace what the Japanese were going to do today. They've been allowed to come in by Carter and Clinton by design. Look up China Gate. Look up Costco. Panama Canal. Long Beach Naval Base. They have already accomplished it. The Chinese, the UN troops, and the Russians are already here. In Mexico, Cuba, and South America, ready to come in to set up the North American Union. Family, they planned this in 1943, and it failed. They sacrificed hundreds of thousands of Japanese in Nagasaki and Hiroshima for nothing. But by the desires of Satan through the Pope, a sacrifice of human lives for nothing. The history books lie. I bet some of this you never heard before, but it's all true. When it didn't happen like they wanted it to, 1945, they knew that World War III was to happen eventually. Our progressives, the American progressives, American Illuminati, were told not to rush this thing. Certain things had to happen. After 1945, they had to set up the Islamic threat, because that was the Third World War. 1945 began the takedown of the family, began the restructuring of American culture as planned in Tavistock, 1945 to 1950. The communists had to be put in control in the 1950s, 1960s, and use that period of the Cold War as an excuse, as a setup for the Islamic threat that the Vatican was getting ready to set up. So the communism was the next threat, the next war, the next fictitious alternate enemy. And that leads us up to Korea. I shall show you. So now the next threat, the last threat was Nazism, fascism, was vanquished. Hitler got powerless. It fell apart. Yamamoto was assassinated. Got rid of him because they were ticked off that he didn't complete what he was supposed to do. His own royal family set him up and used Americans to assassinate him when he was on a plane being escorted. Yamamoto. Their plans fell apart. There is a map showing a world government, 1943. You can see it. We divide up into 10 nations. 10 unions. It fell apart. So 1945 begins the next phase. Head toward World War III and New World Order. And the takedown of America began in 1945. They had to reduce national sovereignty, set up the destruction of the family, start bringing drugs in from South America, change the culture, change the clothes, bring in rock and roll music. All that was pre-planned through Tavistock, a behavioral think tank in England. Now, while that's going on, the ideology of communism must then be set up as planned in 1841. By Clinton Roosevelt, the ancestor to FDR, and Manzini. Clinton Roosevelt plagiarized a document from Adam Weishaupt and finished it May the 1st, 1776. That's why the communists call it May Day. Yeah, now you got it? Huh? May the 1st was his birthday. May the 1st was the date he completed the world revolutionary movement that we're dealing with today. On May the 1st, 1776, the same day they allegedly killed bin Laden, which is a lie. They killed bin Laden in 2001. Badr Bhutto confirmed that in 2007, that he was killed certainly before 2007. They lied about bin Laden. But May the 1st was the day they used. May the 1st is May Day. That's why. So Clinton Roosevelt got the document from Adam Weishaupt through Manzini and plagiarized the science of government founded on natural law and renamed it, that name I just gave you, and passed it on to Karl Marx. Karl Ritter wrote the ideology for fascism. He dies and Frank Nietzsche takes over, completes the writing of it in 1850s, 1860s. And those two ideologies would be used in World War I and World War II. It was done perfectly. Except it didn't get their New World Order. Now I got loads of references, but I can't tell you today because I got to keep moving. Now you got the picture, how deep this goes. It's amazing, really. So now the enemy is vanquished. And they have to set up now as a fictitious enemy, communism. And they did it through Korea. Planned to lose in the very beginning. Planned to lose in the very beginning. As was Vietnam. They already knew how many lives they were going to lose. They already knew what was going to happen before the war even started. You got it now? Okay. So, as in World War II, the Chicago Tribune blamed the Council on Foreign Relations for our ill-advised entry into our first police action. Now, how significant is the Council of Foreign Relations? Now, so far, you're just hearing me ranting and raving, aren't you? Right? Hearing me just go on and on and on. Now, I can back up everything I tell you. However, I'm going to give you this.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. Shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor.
What a load of junk. These people are so evil. She is too. Now one more shot.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller; the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller; the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller; the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller; the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
That proves the nefarious background of the CFR. Ooh, I got more for you. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the one who says it's easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people, that Brzezinski, he said in the interview, quote, "We," he and David Rockefeller, "were impressed with Carter. What impressed them was not his independence." Gary Allen was in an interview, and he said, when asked about this issue, "Why did Askew and Sanford fail where Jimmy Carter succeeded as president nomination?" And Gary Allen said that apparently Rockefeller and Brzezinski thought that Carter was more reliable. Carter showed overwhelming ambition. He was possessed of the kind of ruthlessness that David and his friends understand. This made him vulnerable. It included conniving with his two own personal banker, Bert Lance, to funnel the money of bank depositors into the Carter peanut business, into the bank accounts of Lance associates and family members, and to finance Carter's campaign while waiting for matching federal funds. The illegalities were enough to send the whole gang to jail. And the key to exposure was in the hands of David Rockefeller and his fellow banking insiders. You see, you know that Cheney, Kerry, Bush, Romney, Gore, Clinton, do you know that they're all cousins on the same Merovingian bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II? Lower level cousins, 5th and 6th and 7th. That they're not allowed to marry outside of that family bloodline? Do you understand this? Cheney included. They're all family members of the Illuminati families. DNA shared. Do you understand this? Now you ask yourself, what does the Trilateral Commission do that is part of the round table of the CFR, Trilateral Commission, UN, Club of Rome, Gorbachev Foundation, and the Bilderberg Group? They form a round table to discuss our lives, plan that world change, especially in America, and set up the wars that I'm getting ready to tell you about. Well, you ask yourself, the Trilateral Commission was formed in 1972-73 when Nixon failed in his military coup attempt. The Trilateral Commission, the purpose of it, and also of larger and older Council of Foreign Relations and Bilderberg groups, is to use concentrated wealth to exert world power, and the individuals involved are the most influential of all the old boy networks that's outside the Soviet Union and Red China. And the trilateralists, of which you have more than one membership, Bilderberg Trilateral, they can join both, made their objective very clear in the 1974 report to call the Crisis of Democracy, as produced by the organization which President Carter, Mondale, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and George Bush all belong to. And the Trilateral Report defined the predominant trends that started in the 1960s. Expressed alarm at the challenging of the authority of established political, social, economic institutions. And increased particularly popular participation in and control over the institutions. And a reaction against the concentration of power of Congress, of state and local governments. That's what goes on behind the scenes. Let's go back to 1950. The next war to be established would have to be now a war that would set up communism. Now, you can understand, unless you probably already did, not to say that I do and you don't, by no stretch of imagination, but those that don't, I can say, now you understand why they killed Patton. Because General Patton wanted to keep on going and go ahead and continue on to fight Communist Russia. It wasn't allowed yet. They had to set it up first and establish another decade or more of using communism to keep us busy. Now you see why they killed him, because he knew what was going on. So they killed Patton to keep him quiet and not cause trouble, because they knew he would. Because they had plans for it. So let me give you the proof now. We had a planned defeat in Korea. Because as in World War II, December the 9th, 1950, a good article came out, and I got a copy of the actual article. The Chicago Tribune blamed the Council of Foreign Relations for our ill-advised entry in the first police action. Quote, the members of the council, foreign relations, should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, that'd be the Korean War. And you know that it's very interesting to note here that Taiwan, which was Formosa, was ready and willing to cross the channel and retake Red China. They were exiled. Chiang Kai-shek. I'm sorry. Yes, Chiang Kai-shek was exiled when the communists took over. And he wanted to go back home in a bad way. Now, he wasn't such a good guy after all, but that's okay. That's okay because he was free China. That's, I don't really care whether it's good or bad. The idea was he was free China. He wasn't a puppet with the Illuminati. He wanted to go back home. And so did 500,000 other Koreans want to go back home. They were hot, trained, willing, and ready. However, this was not to be allowed to happen. The communists, they knew, must not be removed from power. General Douglas MacArthur said in his diary, in his memoirs, quote, the possibility of Red China's entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize Formosa, that'd be Taiwan, which in effect protected the Red China mainland from any attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men, unquote. Now, neutralize means to blockade, to stop his advance. And because of that, our troops got surrounded by 9 Chinese divisions. But in any case, and they do it too. So according to the untold story of Douglas MacArthur, not only did Truman, he declared it was against American policy for the free Chinese to reclaim communist China, but he also ordered the American fleet in the Straits of Formosa to make sure it happened. So, protected by the U.S. Navy, China was free to send its soldiers into North Korea to aid in the attack in the South and our American forces. So now, since he couldn't fight China, Chiang Kai-shek, he couldn't fight China without first getting through the U.S. Navy ships in the blockade, Chiang Kai-shek offered the use of his troops and those to fight in South Korea. Quote Douglas MacArthur again. The Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a year after the North Koreans had crossed the 38th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops that could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. The suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was, at that time, a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented in the United Nations force. But the American government would not tolerate such a move. Unquote. Douglas MacArthur. Now, since the war in Korea was technically a United Nations police action, the U.S. military plans didn't stop at the president, because President Truman was only the second command of the U.S. forces. See, the true commander of U.S. forces in Korea was undersecretary for political and social, the Political and Security Council affairs in the United Nations. So by agreement, UN member states, That position was always held by a communist. So during the Korean War, it was held by Konstantin Zinchenko of Russia. So, it begs the question, could it be that the Russian UN Undersecretary was relaying American battle plans to Moscow, and Moscow sending the plans to North Korea? You know, General Douglas MacArthur said, and I quote MacArthur again, "I ordered General Stettmeyer, Chief of the Air Force, to employ B-29s on the following morning to destroy the Yalu bridges and cut this easy line of communication between Manchuria and North Korea." An immediate dispatch came from Secretary of State George Marshall, countermanding my order and directing me to postpone all bombing of targets within 5 miles of the Manchurian border. Unquote, General MacArthur. So, here it's pretty obvious that the State Department was acting on behalf of somebody other than the American military. A North Korean official claimed that he had promises from Washington that MacArthur would not attack him. General Lin Pao, P-I-A-O, he said, and I quote, "I would never made the attack and risk my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my line of supply and communication." Now, General Lin Pao, he was a general in the Red Chinese Army that fought against us in Korea. Isn't that sweet? Not. You know that House Minority Leader Joseph Martin, he expressed a dismay at the administration's apparent desire not to win the war in Korea by such tactics as not allowing the bombing of strategic military targets. And Martin said, and I quote, "If we're not in Korea to win, this administration should be indicted for the murder of thousands of American boys," unquote. Family's just scratching the surface of Korea. And that brings us to the time, 1950s, that Tavistock is getting ready to put into place the gangs and change of clothes, guru jackets, drugs from South America by Bush, CIA setting up airports through the oil refinery platforms, and in the United States and MENA, Arkansas, and other places to bring drugs to the United States by CIA initiation. Subversives would then distribute it. Mafia, organized crime, that's how it really works. If you're going to change the culture, break up the family, destroy America, well, you got to start big. Change the family, destroy the family unit, bring drugs in, medicate everybody, anti-war demonstrators, demonstrations funded by the Rockefellers, trains just like Occupy Wall Street, everything. To start the reduction of the sovereignty, all this was pre-planned by design. It's hard to get across this to people. Dien Bien Phu, French got their butts kicked, bringing the Americanos. Vietnam was called a planned defeat. Vietnam as well. Used extensively, the plan also included Agent Orange, which was designed specifically to start the killing off of our troops by cancer. and something else I'm going to tell you about here shortly. Because in earlier years and wars, American financial interests had a lot to gain from a war in Vietnam. The poppy seed is when it started bringing the drugs there. Spending military-industrial complex, budgets, all that stuff. And like Korea, America would not be allowed to win this war either. And our own State Department played an important role in this treasonous activities. Now, before I continue here with Korea, Vietnam, I want to mention something. Several things. One, let's go back to World War II for a minute. You remember I told you about in the six phases we're supposed to be under a dictatorship by 1943 and Hitler was going to come in? I forgot to mention something. In the 1930s and 1940s, starting in the black schools first, you said the pledges, the kids, the children were forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America Incorporated. Well, we know it's a corporation, but to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. Yeah, well, stick your hand out, right hand out, straight palm down in the Heil Hitler sign. That's exactly how they do it. Did it. Look up the Bellamy salute. They had prepared our people. Started off with black schools first. Then it went to the white schools to say the Pledge of Allegiance before 1940 with Heil Hitler's sign. Look it up. It's there. They prepared us already. Right there is a smoking gun. And then went to the white schools. So now black schools, white schools, we're saying, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and it was a Heil Hitler sign. Now when the plans fell apart, and they knew that the New World Order would not happen, they took the right hand, and they went to over the left breast, and that's what we do it today. Now, that's a second degree Freemason sign of fidelity. Right hand over the left breast is second degree Mason sign. Fidelity. Hey, can you imagine? How about that? Y'all knew that? Yeah. That's what they did. Isn't that a hoot? When I read these things and find out, boy, I tell you, it just torques my jaw. So bad I couldn't even drink Jell-O out of a straw. But that's the way it is. I'm telling you exactly how these people operate. Vietnam vets, you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you anyway. Like Korea, America was not allowed to win this war either. It's already pre-chosen. Pre-check is already planned out. Our own State Department played an important role in the treasonous activities. Jane Fonda in North Korea, that was nothing. In North Vietnam, that was nothing as a traitor compared to our presidents, our Congress, our CEOs. Jane Fonda in aircraft. They had no idea what was going on behind the scenes in the government. And it's still continuing. But in the Vietnam War, here's what happened. Besides putting out cancer and the Agent Orange by design to start the taking down of the U.S. military. Oh, I was going to say something else. Oh, World War II. One more thing. Our tanks didn't even come close to the same quality as the German Panzers. Man, our weapons wouldn't even hardly break the skin on a head-on-head firefight. Our troops in the Second World War against the Panzers and T-55s against the Panzers, they had to maneuver, get behind them. Because the Derring shells wouldn't even break the skin of the Panzers up front. as always have been, our equipment's been substandard. Now you know why. Now you know why. Man, that ticks me off bad. You see? So that proves what Chicago Tribune said. The blood is on the hands of CFR. The Germans didn't do that. Japanese didn't do our tanks. Italians didn't either. We did ourselves to make sure we wouldn't win. But God is always there. Boy, he's got to frustrate the dickens out of them. Now back to Vietnam. In August of 1966, the State Department issued a pamphlet that was entitled Private Boycotts Versus the National Interest. Did you know that in 1963, JFK was going to pull troops out of Vietnam, back our money by silver? He's going to slow down or stop the, make sure that the Israelis stop the building of the nuclear facility in Dimona. Eliminate the CIA and get rid of the Federal Reserve. Any questions why is it assassinated? When the Pentagon assassinated JFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy. Their plan fell apart in the 1960s. Shooting at Kent State was to see if it would fire American citizens. Black Panthers, KKK, was set to do a civil war. Civil war. Does that sound familiar? Martin Luther King saw through this facade, separated himself from Jesse Jackson and all the others, and the civil rights workers, and was starting to bring people together. That's why they killed him. He started off as a communist, socialist, in their NAACP meetings and all that. He didn't like it. He didn't like what was going on. So he manned up and pulled out of it and started his own thing. He's going to bring peace, not a civil war, like they're doing today. Right now. Ferguson. Choking. All that stuff. It's all set up to get us to fight each other. Dang, don't we ever learn something. Dang it. Doggone. What are y'all going to learn out there? Doggone it. Anyway, that was what 1963 to 66 was all about. Keep us busy. Third World War. But never happened because it wasn't time yet. Somebody put a monkey wrench in that one. In any case, August 1966, this pamphlet came out. And it stated, I quote, all American citizens should know that any American businessman who chooses to engage in peaceful trade with the Soviet Union or Eastern European countries, and to sell the goods he buys, is acting within his rights, is following the policy of his government. But any organization, however patriotic in intention, that undertakes to boycott, blacklist, or otherwise penalize or attack any American business for engaging in peaceful trade with Eastern European countries of the Soviet Union is acting against the interest of the United States, unquote. Because many American businesses were going to boycott the trade between Eastern Bloc countries and themselves because of patriotism. So Dr. Anthony Sutton concluded that the guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans in Vietnam came from American subsidized economy of the Soviet Union. And again, as in Korea, the Soviet Union served as a conduit once again for American businessmen to profit. And America's official cooperation with Russia in Vietnam is well known by various military experts, Admiral U.S. Grant Sharp. He said, and I quote, "From the beginning, we should have closed the harbor of Haiphong and prevented all of the vital imports from reaching that area. Instead, we permitted them to import all the necessities of war without any difficulty whatsoever, despite the fact that we control the seas. This was a great mistake, of course, and immeasurably increased the casualties that our side incurred." Unquote. Moreover, one of the most tragic sales to the Russian government occurred in 1966. And that's when the U.S. government sent the Soviet Union entire technical specifications which they needed to build a glycerol plant. And specifically in Vietnam, glycerol was used as a detonator in booby traps. Over 50% of all American casualties suffered in Vietnam came from booby traps, IEDs. Well, there you have it. Trade and money are more important in the lives of American servicemen. And the same thing for Russia, China, all of them don't care about their citizens. They care about this Luciferian agenda. They act on TV as enemies. They're not. But for the Vietnam vets, remember one thing. You went, you fought bravely, and you did it for America. You did it for your family. You did the right thing in your mind. We weren't taught anything different. This was a war that had already been predetermined. And they predetermined we would not win that war. It's not their fault, the American servicemen. It's the fault of the conspirators I've been naming all along. And the Gulf War against Iraq began what may become a long line, and it has. We know today of multinational police actions aimed at civil control. And particularly significant is that speech made by President Bush at the onset of the crisis. A new partnership of nations has begun. We stand today at a unique and extraordinary moment. The crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, also offers a rare opportunity to move toward historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. When we're successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations, PUI, can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the United Nations founders, CFR. President George Bush. He stated the objective was the emergence of a new world order. So he alluded to it, in order to have such a utopian atmosphere, we must give up our freedoms and place them in the hands of the United Nations. In the best way I can say it, it's not a Bolshevik. You see, this is how it really works in this world. Norman Bethune Thomas said, 1944. He was the six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America. In a speech in 1944, he said, and I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." He went on to say, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform." Now, the Republican Party, don't be sticking your chest out. You're just as bad or worse. Because you plan the wars that kill our children. Through the Council of Foreign Relations, you and the Democrats and Republicans, the Council of Foreign Relations, you are the enemy of our country because you're Luciferians. You're a secret society members. You're members of the Council of Foreign Relations. You're members of the Trilateral Commission. You're members of the Club of Rome, of Bilderberg, of UN, Gorbachev Foundation. That's your enemy. And it includes both Democrat and Republican. Both parties. As a matter of fact, did you know that around 1960s, a great man, Martin Luther King, said, and I quote, "We must face the appalling fact that we have been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties," unquote, Martin Luther King. CFR, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You see, the school system has prepared us for this ever since 1908. We've been under the socialist program all along. Didn't even know it. You think that 11 weeks at Paris Island changes a young boy to become a Marine in 11 weeks. Now I realize why. It's got to be intense, because I was a Marine. I served on the drill field as a commander. I oversaw 70 drill instructors. Any given time, I had 1,300 recruits under my control. Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, Paris Island. So I know. And I personally addressed every platoon that went through my company. I know how it works. I know the brainwashing we have to give them. Had to give them. But now I realize why. Because the school system brainwashes us from the day we're born into a socialist program and we didn't even know it. So we got to break that down to take them out of this civilian, I already said that. We got to break them out of the civilian nonsense when they come into our drill field and take all this civilian garbage out of their head and put Marine back in their head. Now I know why. Because they have them, 12, first grade to 12 years, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year, of a humanistic socialist program that goes back to 1908. The Pledge of Allegiance, the Bellamy Salute, death education, I'll talk about that tomorrow. Learn history, build up patriotism to fight the darn wars. They're not doing it now. After 1950s, 1960s, they start downplaying it. Now I know why. They don't teach history anymore. They want to dumb you down. Because they're trying to break up the family, break up sovereignty, to bring us to a new world order. They need to have that before in order to foment the wars. We've been brainwashed. Now I know why it works. That's why they're doing it. Exactly. they fail to realize that the 11-week program is to shock them out of the school system they've been put into. The brainwashing already placed them by the education system. The patriotic part is enhanced in boot camp, but the rest of it's downplayed because people have been made to be apathetic, replaced by initiative and aggression. We've been taught to be apathetic all along. That's why. I didn't realize, didn't know this till recently when I started putting it all together. Boy, that ticks me off. In the news, now to show you how to apply us today, I'm going to go over some things. Pope Francis invokes Lucifer during the Easter Mass 2013. That says for itself. They were singing some kind of Italian words. I couldn't believe it. Now you know why. Lucifer is part of the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholics don't even know it. They're going to crash it. It's going to go to the New Age movement. It's all set up. Every bit of it. There's no good guy in this at all except Jesus Christ. There's no good guys otherwise. He had a 6-year-old kid that was handcuffed at school. He's a black kid. Recently. You see how they're doing this? They put this in. Oh, by the way, I mentioned epiphany. That was my epiphany. My epiphany was, sorry, I don't want to make clarify that. I told some people that. Was that we put them through boot camp to get them out of the socialist mindset they were put into through high school and college. To get rid of that thinking was shock. Because we're all stuck in it ourselves today. And then, and always, we're trained from the day we're born. So Marine Corps boot camp was to shock them out of it. To give them back that initiative, give them back that free thinking. But under orders, under control. To kill. Wars were already pre-set up. Enemies already designed. We didn't know that. So my epiphany was, I had no idea that that was the reason for the training that we put them through. Because we've been put into a socialist program and education system since the day we were born. Brainwashing in the schools. Confirmed. A socialist, humanistic, Marxist preachment in every college and university and every public school had been teaching us humanism and to not think on our own. To be under control of the state. So now the 6-year-old I'm going to talk about. And the 6-year-old was handcuffed at school. That's ridiculous. Now what I'm supposed to tell you is how we have lived in a tyrannical government. And they were handcuffed a 6-year-old kid and so forth. That's what I'm supposed to be saying. But that's not what it is. They set these situations up. Like I told y'all yesterday, they put it out viral. And we'll see that number one, the International Rights of Child Convention signed. It will be one more thing after another. To show the children are being abused, which they are abusing them on purpose. Because in 1989, Hillary was pushing to get the United States to sign the International Rights of the Child in 1989. We didn't get it signed, thank God. But the 20th nation of the UN did. It means it's in effect. Once we sign the UN, the International Rights of the Child, that effectively takes your children away from you, puts it under our international treaty, which overrides any so-called constitution that we have. That's fact. That's where child euthanasia comes in. Up in Oregon. They're trying to get that passed. That's where the education of the kid for more socialist training. And you can't stop it when they sign this thing. So they're going to be putting out how children are being abused, a six-year-old is getting handcuffed at school, and all this stuff over and over and over. So you'll have your congressman to sign this darn treaty. This is the reason for these ridiculous. So I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know if they're really doing it or whether they're taking a Freemason family and say, look, we're going to do this at the school. Go along with it. We'll let your kid go. You can maybe take a picture later. But we need to get this out. I tend to think that's what they're doing. Freemasons work together into setting this thing up. And so then they do it, and it hits the news. They make a report of it, and we read about it and get all ticked off because what they're doing to our kids at school. Wow. It's being orchestrated. It's being set up and scripted. And now to add double trouble, they made a black kid. So now it set up the black and white issue again like they tried to do in the 1960s. That's what that article's there for. There's no other reason. Did they actually do it? Probably. But that's not the point. Point is, this is manipulate your thinking. They had the Notre Dame white privilege seminar. This is so scripted. Racist indoctrination on education? All this is part of it. Setting up that that black and white issue to get you all to fight each other like they did in the Bundy Ranch, white on white. So it couldn't be a racial issue. So at that point in time, they had articles coming out about militia, about patriotism, and tyrannical government, and the feds and doing this. That's had the same thing going on then. For Bundy Ranch, see? White on white. White bread on white bread. Cracker against cracker. And no peanut butter in the middle. Ha! You see? That's what they're doing. So it was patriotism was the issue. But Bundys are Illuminati. They're liars like the ducks are. Duck Dynasty, write his own Bible. His pastor is Rick Warren. He's Illuminati. He is a CFR member. Rick Warren. He's a liar. He's a CFR member, family. Look it up. He's a member of the Illuminati. That boy worships Lucifer. No doubt about it. Well, the ducks go to that church, Saddleback. They're going to write their own Bible. They can't do that. That makes them not Christian whatsoever. No way possible. So that's white on white going on in Bundy. Bundy's Illuminati. So now they're bringing the black issue. So now the article's going to come out. It's so scripted. It's almost ridiculous. It's almost just modeling how they do this. You got a Russian scientist that says that a mountain-sized asteroid is heading our way. Uh-oh. Everybody get your umbrella out. See what they're trying to do here? Look at this article. This article, you can't hear. Look at the article up. When you find it, search it out. You'll find out it's going to be sent all over the United States. A mountain-sized asteroid heading our way. What they're trying to do, with a lot of these articles, in this case, is trying to show you the end times events already here. They've already happened. Bringing on the false prophet that all the tribulations are over with yet already. You'll find this in the Bible about a mountain size, what appears to be an asteroid. It's in the Bible. Well, they're coming up with articles. They can actually pull this off. A big flash somewhere and a nuclear explosion in the middle of the ocean would send a great tsunami. They would do that and kill millions in a New York minute. And claim this end of the tribulations. This is not speculation. So now they got that set up. Another article. White Florida deputy shoots black man who witnesses say had hands up. It can be more obvious how they're writing these articles. He may actually shot him. I don't know. But either set up or he actually shot him. And they would. They would do it that way. Just to get the article printed, us to read it, and get fired up and see if we're apathetic, we're going to fight or not. That's what all this is about. And you see LeBron James, for example. He's a Freemason. Like all the rest of them are Freemasons. Oh, yeah. So he's on the court. He wears a T-shirt. I can't breathe T-shirt. Come on now. This is so scripted, it's not even funny. And here they got professor makes students recite anti-American Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, God, come on, give me a break. This is so scripted out. After Ferguson, here's another article. After Ferguson and Eric Garner decision, white Christians are taking a stand. Oh, man. You white Christians, are you that dumb? Falling into this plan. I mean, you got Christians, man. Black, white, Hispanic, whatever. See, these people leading these are Illuminati, and they're lying to the ones under them. New York City clergy, of course, joined the Black and Latino City Council caucus die-in to protect Eric Garner killing. Man, they're trying to set us up so bad. And here's another one. Tennessee couple gets 35 years in prison for girls sewed to death. All about children. Here, they remember, feminism was created to destroy the country by dividing the families. Vladimir Lenin came up with a program of the technique. He got it from the training with Illuminati. Destroy a culture, you destroy the family. Feminism was created by the Illuminati to do just that. To separate the men and women roles. I got testimony on this. I don't have time to play it right now, but it's several interviews I've found. They say here, watch, feminism is about equality. Not a particular gender. Interview with Inga. Whoa. Schowitzgert, German name, whatever. Feminism is not about equality. Feminism is about controlling the country by dividing the families, destroy the country. They don't tell you the truth here. Oh, here we go. Two things. Asteroid impact event 2015. I already talked about that, didn't I? Now, in the New Age movement, the push will be to eliminate the death penalty. I want to save this one to last. That's the push of the New Age movement. To release prisons, release felons out of the prisons, do as I wilt as though the law will be played out. They will close down the prisons. Once the Great White Brotherhood has control, New World Order is established. North American Union is set up. They'll take all the prisons and empty them out. They also, I found the objectives to eliminate the death penalty. That's part of the New Age movement agenda. They will use the felons to be the national police force. That's also in the multi-jurisdictional task force protocol, to use felons as a new police force nationwide. That's coming. So they're going to eliminate the death penalty. I've been watching for signs of this, and bingo. Quote, Christian groups joined the new coalition to mobilize 90 million Americans against the death penalty. They're moving right on ahead with this. And these people don't even know it. And then to show that all governments are, acknowledge all governments as subordinate, acknowledge that all governments are worthless. Every government is worthless. They want you to know that. So they're going to start bringing these reports out like the torture report. CIA spent $300 million to torture. They want you to know that all governments are worthless. I've got this documented. And once all worthlessness, once the worthlessness of all government has been acknowledged, then they will launch the New World Order. Because once you've realized your government is worthless, then you'll accept the New World Order as alternative to peace. And that is their main plan. And boy, they don't want you to know that. So we'll come out, so we'll come out with all these reports. You watch them. About getting rid of the death penalty, that's New Age. The governments are your governments are worthless. That's New World Order, because they have an alternative. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. All this is set up, and through the news media, they control your thinking. That is how they do it. Finally, Gary Allen said, and I quote, "With money, the Rockefellers gained control of the media. With the media, the family gained control over public opinion. With control over public opinion, they gained control of politics. And with control of politics, they're taking control of the nation." Gary Allen, Rockefeller File, 1976. Family, I loaded you down. I'm sorry. But I loaded you down with a lot of information. It is going to be recorded. Or taped. Recorded. Yeah, taped was 30 years ago. It's going to be it's recorded. I'll put it up as archives. And everything I said to you, challenge it. Find it. Because you'll find it. But you need to see it with your own eyes. And did the Illuminati change or write the Bible? They're coming out with that too now. They didn't. But they're going to try to downplay the Bible as much as possible. Man, they're getting ready for something. Y'all get ready. Y'all get ready. Let y'all know my broadcast and Bible studies are played randomly by favor, I guess, by John Kirkler, HighPointRadio.net. HighPointRadio.net in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He's got sponsors up there. He wants to increase his output and coverage. And so, you know, if you find the use of his sponsors, you can find out his website, HighPointRadio.net, and use his sponsors. And for us, he just plays our broadcast, my broadcast and Bible studies. My website is WatchForJesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. Tonight, Bible study 8 to 9. I'm going to talk about the Trinity. Because that seems to be coming around nowadays. I'm going to talk about the Trinity tonight. So family, tomorrow, 4 to 6, we're going to hit the ground running. And we'll keep on going. To bring more for you. I want to talk about death education tomorrow. Hey, been setting us up for that little buckaroo, man. Woo! I tell you what, y'all. But all they've done is not the only thing they can do to stop the tribulations coming and God taking back control. Jesus Christ is coming back and there's nothing they can do about it. But there will be judgment before that. And there's going to be a piece of prosperity. Don't be fooled. A falling away of the church, don't be fooled. Because when it falls away, God's going to take control. Y'all have a good night and God bless. Repent. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again. It's not about any religion, no pastor, preacher, pope, rabbi, or otherwise. It's about Jesus and Jesus alone. And his whole truth is found in the King James Bible. They can try to refute it. They'll fail. They can deny it. It won't make it go away. Y'all have a good night and God bless y'all. We'll see y'all tonight, 8 to 9, or tomorrow, 4 to 6. Y'all have a good night. God bless.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day.